In December 1972, Jean McConville was taking a bath in her Belfast apartment when masked intruders burst through her door. The 38-year-old widow, raising 10 children alone since her husband's death from cancer, was ordered to put on her coat. As her terrified children clung to her legs, 16-year-old Archie tried to accompany his mother but was stopped at gunpoint. Through concrete wall openings, he watched helplessly as she was bundled into a blue Volkswagen van. Her last words, "Watch the children until I come back," would haunt him for decades. Jean McConville never returned home, becoming one of the disappeared, people abducted, killed, and secretly buried by the IRA during Northern Ireland's troubles. The trauma rippled outward. Her children were separated into various institutions where some endured systematic abuse. Most shocking was the near-complete lack of police investigation, as if Jean had simply ceased to exist. While the McConville children entered orphanages, Dolores and Marion Price rose to IRA infamy. Raised in West Belfast, where republicanism was religion, their father Albert regaled them with IRA tales. Initially nonviolent, they joined civil rights marches inspired by American activists. Their idealism crumbled at Burntollet Bridge when loyalists attacked protesters while police stood by. When they returned home battered, their mother asked, "Why did you not fight back?" A pivotal moment in their radicalization. The Price sisters broke barriers as women in the IRA, demanding equality as fighting soldiers. Unlike traditional stern Republican women, the crazy Prices maintained glamorous appearances that concealed their activities, from courier work to bank robberies, sometimes disguised as nuns. By 1973, Dolores developed a plan to bring the conflict to England, arguing, "This is half their war. Some of it should be fought on their territory." They hijacked 6 cars in Belfast, repainted them, and equipped 4 with massive bombs hidden under rear seats. Before their attack, the bombers showed eerie detachment, sightseeing or attending theater. On March 8th, they positioned cars at targets, including an army recruiting office, New Scotland Yard, the British Forces Broadcasting Service, and the Old Bailey. Despite authorities receiving a tip, 2 bombs exploded, injuring nearly 250 people. The bombing team was arrested at Heathrow, refusing to cooperate with interrogators. During their trial, the Price sisters captivated attention by singing rebel songs and flashing V signs. Upon receiving 20-year sentences, Marion defiantly proclaimed, "I stand before you as a volunteer of the IRA. I consider myself a prisoner of war." In Brixton Prison, they immediately began a hunger strike demanding transfer to Northern Ireland. Inspired by Terence McSweeney's fatal 1920 hunger strike, Dolores understood the psychological stakes. He who blinks first is lost. When the government wouldn't yield, officials resorted to force feeding, restraining them and pushing rubber tubes down their throats. Their health deteriorated rapidly, with Dolores's red hair turning white and their teeth loosening. After 206 days, including 167 days of force feeding, doctors refused to continue the dangerous procedure. As they neared death, Dolores wrote, "I am now my own tool. I am also the craftsman wielding the tool. I am carving away at myself." The government eventually capitulated, fearing the political consequences of their deaths. Their victory against force-feeding created a precedent that later had tragic consequences when the World Medical Association declared the practice unethical, preventing intervention during the 1981 hunger strikes when Bobby Sands and 9 others died. In April 1999, the UK and Irish governments established the Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains. Northern Ireland's list contained just 16 disappeared victims, with Jeff Knuffer, a retired English detective, leading searches across Ireland's bogs and beaches. Jean McConville's children gathered at a beach on the Cooley Peninsula to watch excavators search through soil and sand. Their reunion was tense. Despite their physical resemblance, years apart had left them feeling like strangers. Most had struggled personally, with Jim cycling through prison and Archie battling alcohol issues. After 50 days excavating a massive crater, the search yielded nothing. The siblings later found support with other families of the disappeared at Wave Trauma Center. In 2003, human remains were discovered at Shelling Hill Beach, a woman with a single gunshot wound to the head. When examining the recovered clothing, Archie McConville asked about a nappy pin, which was indeed found, confirming Jean's identity after 31 years. As peace emerged in Northern Ireland, Boston College historians created an oral history project documenting former paramilitaries' experiences with promises of confidentiality until death. Former IRA commander Brendan Hughes participated early, speaking candidly about Jerry Adams' involvement in operations, including Jean McConville's disappearance, claiming Adams ordered her secret burial as an informer caught with a British radio transmitter. Dolores Price also described driving McConville to the border, where she was executed after the local IRA unit refused to participate. The project's confidentiality collapsed in 2011 when police subpoenaed the interviews for McConville's murder investigation. Despite legal challenges, the U.S. Supreme Court permitted the tape's release. Using these interviews, police arrested Adams in 2014, who maintained his consistent defense that he never joined the IRA and therefore couldn't have commanded the Belfast Brigade. Nearly two decades after the Good Friday Agreement, Northern Ireland remained peaceful but divided, with more peace walls separating Catholic and Protestant neighborhoods than during the Troubles. While central Belfast appeared cosmopolitan, most residents lived in religiously segregated areas, with over 90% of children attending segregated schools. Dolores Price suffered from moral injury, feeling the peace process had invalidated her violent actions. She experienced flashbacks, sometimes seeing dead comrades in her rearview mirror. The agreement felt like betrayal to Price, who had sacrificed everything only to watch Sinn Féin compromise. She died in 2013 from a toxic combination of medications. Though not ruled suicide, many believed she had effectively taken her own life. Jerry Adams retired from leadership, transforming into what critics called a twinkle-eyed celebrity grandfather who tweets about teddy bears while never acknowledging his violent past. The McConville children continued seeking justice, with Michael finding solace in raising racing pigeons that always return home, unlike his mother. What happens when a society moves forward without fully confronting its past? The Troubles show how violence transforms both perpetrators and victims long after conflicts end. The Price sisters' idealism led to paths that destroyed their lives, while the McConville children carry wounds from their mother's disappearance that never healed. Adams' denial of IRA membership, despite substantial evidence, exemplifies the selective amnesia that often accompanies peace processes. Northern Ireland continues in uneasy peace, with communities still divided by religion and politics, while survivors struggle with how much to remember and forget. What constitutes justice after conflict? Is it punishment for perpetrators, truth for victims, or moving forward unburdened by the past? These questions remain as relevant today as when Jean McConville was taken from her children in December 1972.